With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
U.S. grain transportation system showing mostly steady performance as the harvest approaches, with rail barge and ocean freight metrics offering a mixed picture for shippers. According to USDA's Ag Marketing Services Grain Transportation Report, Class 1 railroads cut origin dwell times and reduced unfilled grain car orders compared to a year ago, with Union Pacific, CPKC, and BNSF all originating significantly more grain car loads since April. Report also highlighting the surge in wheat exports, wheat inspections totaling 34.8 million bushels for the week that ended August 21st. That's the highest weekly total in 12 years. Indonesia, Philippines, South Korea were the top buyers, purchasing approximately 5.5 million, 5.4 million, and 5.3 million bushels, respectively. While barge grain movements fell 27% from the prior week, ocean freight activity strengthened. 25 vessels loaded in the Gulf. That's up 25% from last year. What's the farm level takeaway? Well, farmers and exporters face a mixed transportation landscape. Rail service looks capable of handling record corn harvest volumes, but barge traffic remains volatile. Strong wheat export pace could help support demand, especially as new foreign buyers commit to long-term U.S. supply contracts. USDA's National Ag Statistics Service reporting July prices received index stood at 136.4, down 1.4% from June, but 11% higher than 1 year ago. Crop production index slipped slightly to 102.7, while the livestock production index rose to 172.5. That's up 13% from a year ago. Farmers received lower July prices for broilers, grapes, corn, and milk. Higher prices noted for lettuce, turkeys, hogs, and market eggs. Marketing volumes also shifting, with less movement of cattle, milk, broilers, and oranges, but more sales of grapes, wheat, hay, and cotton. And U.S. International Trade Commission voting unanimously last week to continue the suspension agreements on Mexican sugar for another 5 years. The agreements, first signed in 2014 and strengthened in 2017, suspend anti-dumping and countervailing duties while setting limits on Mexico's exports to the U.S. American Sugar Alliance said the decision protects domestic sugar farmers and workers from unfairly traded imports, arguing that without the agreements, U.S. producers would again face injury from dumped and subsidized sugar. And despite billions in recent federal aid, most farm programs cover only a fraction of producer losses. Billions from the American Relief Act of 2024 and the newly passed One Big Beautiful Bill designed to shore up the farm safety net. But structure and timing of payments mean farmers are still shouldering the bulk of the burden. According to Dr. Bart Fisher with Texas A&M's Ag and Food Policy Center, economic relief through ECAP covered only 26% of losses, and disaster assistance under the SDRP accounted for just 32%. It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
The second Trump administration has been the most pro-biofuels administration that we've had.
Deputy Secretary of Agriculture Stephen Vaden speaking recently at the Farm Progress Show, Decatur, Illinois.
We at USDA are very supportive of the Environmental Protection Agency and the proposed renewable volume obligations. We think those numbers are wonderful and are where they need to be and meet the current ability of America to produce biofuels. Mm-hmm. But we're even more excited about the proposal that they have recently put out for public comment to reallocate those RINs that are being waived because of the small refinery waivers, which EPA is legally required to provide.
What about the RVOs?
The renewable volume obligation, simple. That's the amount of biofuels we need to produce at minimum and be blended into our fuels in this country every year. EPA sets that on an annual basis. There's a provision in the law which says for certain small oil refineries, they are entitled to receive a waiver from having to participate in this program. That means they don't have to blend biofuels into the petroleum that they refine. In the past, that has essentially been lost volume.
Yep.
So in other words, if you had a renewable fuels obligation of 1 billion gallons and 100 million of it were waived because of the small refinery, in reality, you'd only be producing 900 million gallons. And so that would be 100 million gallons of lost biofuel sales. Now what EPA is talking about doing is, okay, these small refineries, they won't have to blend the 100 million in my example, but we're going to reallocate it, in other words, redistribute the obligation to blend to larger refineries which do not get a waiver. And that means instead of losing the 100 million gallons in sales for biofuels, and of course that goes straight to corn and soybean farmers, that's going to be used, will be made, and will be blended. So that's a win for American ag. So we are excited that after having agitated for that for years, that EPA is proposing it, and we hope that everyone in ag will submit comments supportive of that during the rulemaking process ongoing.
And exports.
With regard to the trade agreements that we've already announced, there's $700 million in additional ethanol purchases that the United Kingdom has agreed to, and Japan has actually agreed to purchase sustainable aviation fuel from us, which is a product that we definitely hope to be able to export and that this administration strongly supports. So when our trade team is going into these countries, they are not just saying, please buy more from American agriculture. They're taking data from USDA, and that data is telling them what are they currently purchasing from us and in what amounts, what are they currently purchasing from other countries that we could be providing to them instead, and what should they be purchasing from us that they are not. And so when our trade team sets down with these other countries, they're saying, we want you to purchase, just like with the United Kingdom, this many hundred million dollars more of this specific commodity. And those are the types of asks that are being made, and USDA's data is being used to help generate those asks. And you can rest assured that both Secretary Rollins and myself, whenever we talk to the trade team, agriculture, we're making certain it's top of their list. And given where we see commodity prices are right now, you can rest assured that a lot of that emphasis is on row crops. We need more corn, more soybeans, more ethanol being purchased by people overseas, and that's what should be at the top of our trade agenda's list.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Our topic is really to get into the discussion about a sweet tub versus a bud box.
Oklahoma State beef breeding specialist, Dr. Mark Johnson.
Most all working facilities are going to have the chute itself where we actually have a head catch, potentially a means to squeeze, but that's where we're going to contain animals. We're going to administer vaccinations, do preg checks, whatever the case may be. The animals are actually going to be in the squeeze chute. Leading up to that, we're going to have an alleyway. There's a lot of different alleyways that can be built or that are on the market. Some of those have got vertical sides that adjust in and out. Some are a little narrower at the bottom, a little wider at top to prevent that temptation of animals trying to turn around. And how you want to set up your alleyway is really in the eye of the beholder and works relative to how many cattle you've got to work and the size of those cattle. Well, we typically think if we've got something that's adjustable, if we can make it a little narrower at the bottom, say around 16 to 18 inches, maybe about 28 inches tall up at the top, that's going to accommodate most normal size cattle. Where we get into that thing that we need to decide on if we're building a new facility or improving upon what we got really gets into how we're going to bring the cattle into that actual alleyway and eventually lead them to that chute. The historical way, the age-old way, is some sort of a sweep tub. Where I'm standing today is actually in the sweep tub itself. And if we imagine that we were running cattle up through this alleyway between the camera and I and into this area right behind me, that alleyway sets back behind me and to my right, we've got the sweep gate. And it's basically a mechanical means. You've got some backstop to it here as it would go around a curved sheet metal tub itself that prevents it from being pushed back by cattle, and it gives us a mechanical means to actually crowd cattle into the alleyway itself. There's probably going to be some backstop set up in the alleyway to keep those cattle from backing out. So this is the old traditional sweep. What do we like about a sweep? Well, we never actually have to get inside with the cattle in order to use the sweep gate. We're behind it. We've got the stop mechanism in place. We can crowd the cattle in. It works pretty well. The other way that we can go about this that potentially requires a little more training and a little more thought with regard to just cattle behavior and their normal instincts is to set up a bud box. If we could imagine something setting at about a right angle to the alleyway, approximately 12 foot wide, 20 foot long, we are going to use a bud flow box to capitalize on cattle's instincts to actually escape us and get away. A bud box has got the advantage of being able to be set up on a temporary basis. We can use some portable panels to actually set up a bud box. And so it creates the opportunity to try it, see if it works for us, see if we like it. The thing about a bud box, you need to be in the box with the cattle. So one of the decisions is to, on the comfort level you've got, and actually being in the box with the cattle in order to get them to go where they want. There are some hybridizations of these that we find on the market anymore. Something that is set up to capitalize on the bud box and cattle's normal instincts, that can keep the operator on the outside of a bud flow tub, if you will, for lack of a better term, where walking by creates that path and their instinct to escape and go back. So you will find some things that kind of are somewhere in the middle of the traditional sweep tub versus a bud box.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The ag economy in particular really goes through cycles, and we have good days and years, I should say, and then we have poor years.
Arlen Suderman is with StoneX.
We've got a lot more competition from Brazil right now. Since their currency broke in 2011, that has stimulated a rapid expansion of production, and they can grow three crops a year there on the ground, and that really spreads out your cost factor. So that's a reality what we live with. And I have a lot of people say, well, are we going to ever have a chance to recover that demand? Well, yeah, we've been through cycles before, and we always find new demand sources. But the unfortunate part of that is it usually takes 2 or 3 years of low prices in order to stimulate those new demand sources. We do have a good biofuel program. It looks like it's coming on now. That's certainly good. But frankly, it's going to take some time now to build up our crush capacity on soybeans to be able to absorb some of the lost China business if we don't get a trade deal soon.
So ag is cyclical, and we talk a lot about futures, but what about basis?
Yeah, I have some real concerns. And we look at basis in particularly in the northwestern Midwest. It's already in the tank, and it could go lower. Our big problem there is the lack of China buying soybeans. And there's a lot of farmers who grow soybeans for the rail market in that area, the northwestern Midwest. And the rail bids are essentially at zero now because China hasn't bought any soybeans. Maybe that'll change. There are negotiators in the United States this week. But if it doesn't, that rail bid continues to be zero. Those beans have to find a home now. And that displaces corn. And it's a big corn crop up there especially. It's a biggest corn crop ever for that region. And that's on top of a big wheat harvest. So that's going to be a problem, and that affects basis across the Midwest as the arbitrage works, and the people in the East don't want to be flooded with Western corn and soybeans. And so that drives basis down in the East as well. That will improve once every bushel gets a home. But there, unfortunately, there's a lot of farmers who haven't sold who are going to have to find storage who can't unless they just dump it on the cash market, and they're going to pay the price for that. And that's the unfortunate part of it.
And with record crops, do we need to be concerned about waterways?
Yeah, still kind of early. Not the water level problems that we've had in the past because July was so wet, very wet. Parts of Iowa had our wettest July on record. And so that helped, but we're seeing those water levels work their way down now. And of course, we need to move the crop down the river prior to the river closing, especially in the northern half of the river. And so that's always an issue. And, you know, as once we get into harvest, then we don't want it to rain so we can harvest, but we're going to have some rains in there that continue to maintain that river level.
Well, it's also a gentle reminder that we might need to be making investments in our domestic infrastructure.
Yeah, other countries are. If you look at the Black Sea, particularly Russia has invested a lot of money into their infrastructure, and that's really made them the breadbasket of the world when it comes to wheat. When it comes to corn and soybeans, Brazil is really investing in their infrastructure. They've got a long ways to go, but a big part of that is China helping finance that improvement in infrastructure. Right now, they're working on a rail to go from all the way across country from eastern Brazil all the way across to the west coast of South America. That'll further reduce their costs of sending commodities to China. And that's why China is involved in helping develop that. We have to be able to keep up. Our water systems have helped us be competitive for years, but we need to update all of that, the locks and dams and everything that goes into that. And we need a commitment to that here in the States.
It's Agriculture Today.
In today's tough farm economy, you need to make every dollar count. When choosing your cotton, consider West Texas varieties from Brownfield Seed and Delining. At only $125 a bag, these West Texas varieties are large seeded varieties that shoot out of the ground and have the yield potential that will have you smiling all the way to the gin. Think outside the box and boost your bottom line with cotton seed from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
It certainly is on the administration's radar. We had representatives from the American Soybean Association at the department late last week. I expect to meet with some of them here today, later on at the Farm Progress Show.
Deputy Secretary of Agriculture Stephen Vaden on soybeans and China.
We are working not just to sell them to China, but to sell them to the rest of the world. And on that end, I wish to point out and remind people, you mentioned comment periods. Our biggest competitor when it comes to corn and soy is Brazil. Our trade representative, Jameson Greer, currently has an investigation looking at Brazil's trade practices, and two of the three items that he's looking at, ethanol and deforestation, that's ag.
Yeah.
Because every hectare down there that they increase agricultural production is taken at the expense of the Brazilian rainforest. Obviously, we don't harm the environment, and we certainly don't burn down rainforests
right.
to generate our agricultural productivity there. And so we're hoping that farm commodity groups, I know the American Soybean Association and the corn growers already have, participate in this investigation because there are things that the administration can do that to try to even the playing field between American and Brazilian farmers where we're doing it in the most efficient, sustainable way possible. Those who are competing with us and are taking our market share are not, and they need to be held responsible for that.
He also talks about that investigation into Brazil.
Not only are comments open, but there will be a public hearing later in September where members of the public can sign up and go talk in person to representatives from the trade representative's office about, in our case, how agriculture is being affected by illegitimate Brazilian trade practices. And it is my hope that many representatives from ag will be there to state their case in person so that the members of the administration who will make the decision on what should be done with regard to Brazil can hear it firsthand.
Says one thing that they're proud of at USDA is that ag affects everyone.
Well, we've got 8 mission areas, believe it or not.
Wow.
We cover everything from, you mentioned, recently confirmed Under Secretary Luke Lindberg, who heads our Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs mission area, to the Forest Service,
okay.
to the Farm Production and Conservation, which includes the Farm Services Administration, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, the Risk Management Agency, acronyms every farmer.
There, yes, yes.
So we've got the Food Safety Inspection Service. We've got the Food and Nutrition Service, which runs the food stamp program, now known as SNAP.
Right.
We have our Research, Education, and Economics Department, which is so important, funding the ag research, 94 ag research stations across the country doing critical research for the future of our agricultural economy, plus interacting with our land-grant universities like the University of Illinois right here. All of that is so important. We are one of the few cabinet departments that can say, in some way, we touch every American every day. Because if you eat, you've got equities with yep. USDA in one way or another. But of course, our primary focus, as Secretary Rollins emphasizes, are the farmers.
Yeah.
They are the 2% of the population that feed not only the remaining 98% of the United States, but literally we feed the world.
Yeah.
And we have a unique problem that you and I have spent most of our time discussing. For most of world history, the problem for governments has been, how do we feed our people?
Mm-hmm.
For the American government at this unique time in history, it's how do we sell all the excess food
yep.
that we have? It is both a blessing and a challenge, but it's a challenge that Secretary Rollins and I embrace and that we're working hard on every day.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Last month, we removed layers of red tape that undermined coal production on federal lands.
Doug Burgum is Secretary of the Interior.
Clean American coal is a triple win for our country because thermal coal provides reliable and affordable baseload electricity at a time when we need more electricity than ever. Metallurgical coal is the foundation for bringing back our steel industry, which we need for national security. And the mining and refining of coal that contains critical and rare earth minerals is essential to secure our own domestic supply chains for our defense, transportation, and tech industries, because today we are in a huge position of vulnerability relative to our critical mineral supply chain. Right now, America is in an artificial intelligence arms race with China. This race is going to be won not only by technology, but by electricity production. Keeping domestic coal-fired power generation open will help us win this contest while driving down electricity costs for American families and improving the reliability of our grid. The department is also undertaking efforts to establish our position as the leading producer and processor of critical and rare earth minerals, which will create jobs and prosperity at home, strengthen domestic supply chains for the United States and its allies, increase our national security, and reduce the global influence of adversarial states. Preventing and combating wildfires is vitally important to protect people, communities, and the environment. Nearly 65,000 wildfires burned more than 8.9 million acres across the United States last year, endangering communities, critical infrastructure, and local economies. Federal wildlife risk mitigation and suppression responsibilities for wildlife fire, as this committee knows, is currently split across five agencies in two different departments. We've got duplicative and ineffective structures that could be improved. This budget proposes reforming the federal wildland fire management to create an operational efficiencies by consolidating and unifying federal wildland fire responsibilities into a new centralized federal wildland fire service at the Department of Interior. This new service will streamline federal wildfire suppression response, risk mitigation efforts, and coordinate with non-federal partners, including states, locales, and tribes, to combat the wildfire crisis. The Department of Interior upholds the federal government's unique trust responsibility by fostering government-to-government relations between the federal government and federally recognized tribes, American Indians, and Alaska Natives. This budget supports programs at the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Bureau of Indian Education, sustaining the federal government support of the core programs that benefit tribal communities. Since becoming Interior Secretary, I've had the opportunity to travel to our national parks, historic sites, Bureau of Land Management, and Bureau of Reclamation, some incredible locations, including the Hoover Dam. Bureau of Reclamation is the number two hydropower producer in America. And I've also visited the wildlife refuges to learn and hear more from the leadership on the ground at each of these places. We're instituting changes to get more people actually working on the front lines, and we're looking forward to an outstanding summer at our historic sites, parks, and refuges. By opening more areas to hunting and outdoor recreation, we're helping to drive tourism, create jobs, and generate revenue for local communities, all while promoting responsible stewardship of our natural resources. Interior is also focused on streamlining our core business operations, which will result in significantly improved efficiencies and lower costs for Americans and will benefit each of the bureaus within Interior. This budget is about putting America first and doing the best for American taxpayer. As Interior moves forward, these initiatives set the foundation for renewed focus on responsible resource management and economic growth.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.